Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying Hebrews chapter 11, and today we talk about the suffering saints. They're mentioned beginning in verse 35 of Hebrews 11. It says, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth." Some of them were slaughtered, of course. It was fate that brought this on them, but they cared not. Where, we ask, were their victories? We read about people who did have victories through faith in verses 33 and 34. Through faith they conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Why not victories for these who seem only to have suffered? Well, these were tested, and they passed the test. They lost. What did they lose? They lost their bodies, only their bodies, and with new bodies they will greet us who believed someday. So often we think of faith as a means to gain something physical or material, and faith thus becomes attractive. Not so in the Bible. The gain was usually spiritual, but it may have come at a great physical loss. Faith in the days when God was speaking through his prophets and apostles was dangerous, risky, contrary to human reason, unwise, at times suicidal, and one's life was completely out of the control of the one who dared to believe God. There were men and women who suffered wrongfully, even illegally, like Paul. Instead of looking back, they bore it because of faith. They believed God would accomplish his purposes through their abuse, and they were willing to be used for God's purpose. There is a faith that costs us something, and we should expect to be tested along the road of life to reveal that true faith. When Peter said to Jesus, "We have left our homes and followed you," Jesus replied, "Truly, I say to you, there is no man who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive manifold more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." That's found in Luke 18. Why leave parents or home? It may be to get away from influences that hinder growth in faith. It may, on the other hand, be the desire to follow the values that Jesus promoted and to become active in a new family of faith. In Luke chapter 11, we read of a woman saying to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." We are creatures of dust, and our most important relationships seem to be that of the family. Not so with Jesus. He was related and promoted something that was eternal. The scriptures say the word of the Lord endures forever, and Jesus was concerned about that word. When a man told Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 that his mother and brothers wanted to speak to him, he said, "Who is my mother and my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." What is that will of God that makes us part of his family? John wrote, "This is his commandment, that we should believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." That puts us into the family of God, because then we are born anew of the Spirit, and we receive the Spirit as an indwelling presence and guarantee. True faith tracks the steps of Jesus, aligning ourselves with his desires, his purity, his truth, and his faithfulness. He doesn't call us to follow him 7 times around Jericho, but he does call us to follow his leadership in spiritual battles. But don't expect to gain riches from these. James wrote, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised? Let us not assume that they had faith because they were born poor. Rather, they may have become poor because they believed what God's word told them about duty, love, and honesty." I'm sure there are many believers who have decreased their assets because they would not cheat the tax collector. Others lost money by keeping their word and refusing to break a contract when it cost them dearly. Men of God have become poor by giving to others and denying themselves. We all need to rejoice in the faith that looks like defeat to the world. Be thankful for faith that rejects a bribe, that denies acceptance at the price of purity, and that spurns success that compromises one's character. Rejoice when you are faced with a choice like Moses, to either suffer with the people of God or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses walked away from untold wealth and fame in Pharaoh's household to go with God through 40 years of wandering, bearing criticism and murmuring from the people he was leading to a good life. Why did he? It was faith. Now what is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is relying upon God. Faith has to do with God's word. Men in the Old Testament couldn't believe God unless God said something to them. God revealed himself to prophets. He spoke to men like Moses and Isaiah and Hezekiah, and they believed God. Moses identified with those in slavery in Egypt because he was one of them by birth. It cost him how much? Everything. But what did he gain? Eternity. Faith does not capture the world's acclaim and corruptible crowns. It pursues the crown of glory in heaven. Faith is living in this world, but not becoming part of this world. Biblical faith does not seek physical blessings. It is satisfied to win spiritual battles. Everything that wars against the soul is defeated by faith and by nothing else. Faith is believing the world was made by the Word of God, not by stellar explosions, not by evolution. And faith rests on that Word of God. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 tells us that Jesus asked this question, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" That followed a parable to the effect that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Our problem, and that of Christians everywhere, I suppose, is aiming our prayers for gain in this life. We want more physical comfort, more prosperity, larger buildings, and bigger crowds. We want a greater reputation and more publicity. Where are the prayers, however, for stronger faith, for faith to accept sorrow, for faith to do right, and faith to bear the ridicule when we do right? For faith that sets priority on God's thoughts, not what man thinks of us. Now listen again to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 through 40. And this from the New International Version. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Even those giants of faith did not receive what was promised. You realize that they had faith long before the Messiah came, long before the prophecies were fulfilled, yet they believed God. You and I have a record in detail of His birth, life, and resurrection, and still we aren't too certain about God's Word. Is there any hope for those who doubt when they possess so much? They have the inspired record, the facts of history, and the examples of believers over thousands of years. They have the discoveries of archaeology, and they bear a strong testimony to the truth of the Word of God. The Son of God gave signs so they would believe, but they wanted more signs. You can read about the signs which Jesus gave by reading the Gospel of John, and we encourage our listeners to do that. John wrote at the end of chapter 20, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you might have life through His name. Our teaching tapes on the Gospel of John will also be of immense help to you. Information on how to order teaching tapes on the Gospel of John are available. Did you know that the grace of God that saves us and teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts also guarantees our salvation? A guarantee? That sounds incredible. Well, listen to Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise might rest on grace and be guaranteed. The reason it can be guaranteed is because it requires neither works of the law nor personal righteousness. This is just one of the many topics discussed in our free grace booklet. Write for your copy today. Ask for the free grace booklet. And if you have been blessed by this broadcast, please tell a friend. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 149, 16 Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.